What I have to say this morning has been on my heart for a while. And when Pastor Scott called a few weeks ago and asked if Bob or I would speak today while I was gone, Bob, as usual, says, "Honey, you always have something to say," which is true, you know. But I always am so blessed when God speaks to my heart. I say, "Lord, help me to know what you want to say to your people today." He always comes through. He is faithful to speak what he wants us to hear. And I trust him today. And Lord, we just invite your presence here. Help our heart, our ears to be open to your word today, what you want to say to us. Lord, these are tough times. And Lord, we are your children. And we want to be children that stand strong in our faith and in what we believe that God has for us and what God has for us to do. And we give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord, and let the word go out and speak to our hearts today. Amen. So can you guys hear me? Because I know my voice can be a little bit soft sometime. So if it's too soft, I think Travis is back there. You can go back there. Hey, turn it up or whatever. So anyway, today is a special day for Bob and I. A year ago today, we became great-grandparents. Yep, I'm old enough. I'm old and I feel it sometimes too. But today is a special day. Bo West is his middle name. I don't know where they got that from. It's not a family name anyway. But Mr. Bo West, he just started walking a couple weeks ago. He is a happy baby. A happy baby. So I'm looking forward to see what his life is. And I hope I live long enough to get him through into the adult stage. But, you know, there's some stuff when I think about it that I think about Bo that makes me, as a grandparent, feel proud, feel excited for him, because Bo has a part of me in him. A part of me is in that child. A part of my DNA rests in him. And so it touches my heart. He has a part of my heart that will never be ripped away from me. And when I think about a father, when he holds that child first time in his arms, there is a connection. There is a connection there. As you become a grandparent, there's a connection there. And great-grandparents, there's always that connection. And I know I used to tell, I only have three grandkids. I wish I had more than that. Brother, I wish I did. But I'll take what I can get. And I remember, so I have the oldest one's a boy. In fact, his birthday is this next week. He'll be 30. The next one is a girl. She'll be 26 this next week, because the two oldest grandkids, even though they have ones from our son and ones from our daughter, they have the exact same birthday, only 4 years apart. That is not fair. That is not fair. But it's just the way it is. And then our youngest is 23 now, I think he is. But this is who Bo belongs to, is the youngest one. But I used to say, Robbie was my oldest favorite grandson. And Kinsey is my favorite granddaughter, because I only have one. And little Christian, he's always my favorite youngest grandson. So they're all my favorite, even though I have a slightly different relationship with them all. And they all, you know, they give each other a bad time. Because I babysit all of them when they were younger, and it touches your heart. Now, why am I telling you this? It's because in Genesis, there is a father that had children. Genesis chapter 3. And we know that in, well, we start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And we know all the story about him creating all this stuff. And in 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and then let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. Amen. He breathed life into us. And at the end of that first chapter, after each time he created something, he said, and it was very good. So God said, you're very good. Hey, I'll take that, won't you? I'm good, God, you said it, you know. And so God really meant it. And when he gets involved in us, in our lives, it says, it dispels the lies of Satan. Satan says you're a bunch of, you can put their word in, you know, how are you feeling that day? That's what Satan says. And you know, that's one of the areas that I had to struggle really hard on. The thoughts in my head says, take every thought captive in the scriptures. And that means every thought that is negative and wrong that Satan instills in us to tear us down in who we are. God made us to be children of God. Amen. Satan hates you with the passion. Because really, when you think about it, how can Satan get to the best? It's when he tears your kids down. Same thing with Father God. The way he tries to get to Father God, he tries to destroy his children. I remember as a young mom, and our oldest Steve was in grade school, and we lived just down the road, and I could look out my kitchen window and see him coming from school every day. And he had us, I think, violin or horn or something. And there was a little boy that just started tormenting him on the way. About halfway up, I could see him, and he would try to poke at Steve and try to take his instrument away. One day, I finally had enough. And you get this mama bear riled up. I went tearing out of that house, grabbed my car, drove up there, slammed my brakes on, grabbed that kid and Steve, put him in the car, took him to the principal's office. And I marched him in there and I said, if you don't do something about this kid, I will. He knew I meant business. And so we told him what was going on. Steven never had a problem again. But, you know, I wonder sometimes if Father God feels that way. He sees Satan messing with us. And it makes him mad. And it even makes him more mad when we get sucked into it and believe it. We believe Satan's lies, and God says, no, it's time to stop that. No more of that. And, you know, God created this world to bless us, to give us something to look forward to. And it just is such a sad thing when we screw up. And if anybody screwed up, it was Adam and Eve, right? In the third chapter, verse 8 and 9, it says, and this just blows me away. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Hey, Adam, where are you? God knew where they were. God knows where everybody is. And they were so ashamed of what they had done that they allowed Satan to separate them from the presence of God. Can you imagine sitting in a beautiful garden and God comes to you every day to spend time with you? Because he loves you. I don't know if you have a favorite place to go that you spend time with the Lord, but I like my garden. Sometimes it looks better than others, but I have a swing on the back porch. And I like to go sit there and say, God, here I am. I'm ready for you. Or I'll say, Lord, I have my cup of coffee. I've got one for you if you'll come on. You know, I'm sure we're going to have coffee in heaven. I know we will. It'll be good coffee. But God likes to spend time with us. He likes to be close to us, and he likes to fill our heart. He likes for us to share our thoughts and prayers and heart with him because he's our dad. I don't know what kind of relationship you had with your father. Some are good, some are not. I had a dad that I could always climb up into his lap and get a hug. I always knew he loved me. But he was also very good about humiliating me in front of people if he thought I had done something wrong. And I didn't realize how bad I had that bothered me. I knew I had dealt with that all my life. But one day I was in my bedroom and I'd been talking to the Lord. And it's the first time that I didn't hear audibly, but it was so loud in my head that God said, Pat, you go around looking over your shoulder expecting me to humiliate you in front of people when you think you've done something wrong. I am not that kind of father. And it broke something inside me. Because God doesn't want to shame us. He doesn't want us to be torn down. He wants to build us up. And we see in the Bible over and over again times of a father's relationship with his kids. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, over to chapter Luke. Luke, the 15th chapter. And a real familiar stories that Jesus told, parables. And you'll see there in the first part of the 15th chapter, it's the parable of the lost sheep, where I'm going to say dad, the one that had the 100 sheep and one went missing, he secured the 99 and he went searching until he found that one lost. Then we move into the parable of the lost coin, something that was very valuable that had been lost and they found it. But I want to look at the father-son relationship in the parable of the son, the prodigal son. And we know that in the first part of that story, starting in verse 11, that the son, the younger son, decided he wanted what belonged to him, what he was going to inherit. And he convinced his dad, probably bugged the living daylights out of him, till the father said, okay, I'll do it your way, give him what his inheritance was, and the kid went on. Of course, he blew it. Just spent it on all kinds of crazy stuff. Until it came to the point he was starving and he was in the pig stuff and he was thinking about eating the pig stuff. I don't know. I don't think I could ever be that hungry and eat pig slop. I don't know if you've ever been around that. I know when we were younger, we had a couple of pigs that dad thought we should grow, raise, whatever you want to call it. But I remember you don't get next to them because they'll eat whatever's around. And the kid says he found himself in verse 17, chapter 15. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. And there's the next thing that is said blows you away. While he was still a long way off. And I'm reading now the message. While he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started to speak. Father, I have sinned against God. I have sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes, dress, and put the family ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to have a feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found. What struck me first was that father had to be looking for that son every time he turned around. Said when that son was afar off, the father saw him. Yeah, I think that's my son. He had to be looking for him constantly, always on his conscience, always, you know, in his heart, looking for him. And when he saw him, it said he went running. My understanding of Jewish culture, men did not show any part of their leg or ankles, whatever. For the father to run, he had to pick his garment up fast, high enough that he could run like crazy to get to that son. He was willing to embarrass himself in the culture he lived in to get to that son that he dearly loved. I wonder how many times that we think or know that we've embarrassed the Father with our choices. How much pain we've brought him. And yet, he was willing to do everything he could to bring us home. Everything he could. He gave everything up, including his own son, to get us home. So we would have a safe place. A healing place, a place that we could know that we belong for eternity. The other thing is that it says that when the son got there and he started, Father, I did, and Father wasn't even listening. He was so concentrated on, here's my son. Let's have a feast. I wonder how often when we come to our senses and we're crying out to God, that even before we get it out of our mouth, Father God is wrapping his arms around us. I am so glad you're back. I'm so glad you turned around. I am so glad to have you in my presence again. And he smothers us with his love and his hugs and his kisses. I don't know if you've ever received a hug from God, but it's the most precious, mind-boggling thing that I've ever experienced. It does something to your soul. God loves you. He wants to wrap his arms around you and hold you close because he knows that most everybody hurts one way or another. Life is not easy. In fact, I was telling one person that, I mean, let's face it. Sometimes we really get dumped on in life. Many years ago, I did a message about horse poo in church. Because that's the only nice thing I could say that, you know, that would give the impression that I wanted. But we get dumped on all the time by people on life that happens out of our control. And it doesn't feel very nice. It doesn't smell very good. And it really hurts. God wants to stop it. He wants to stop the horse poo falling on us all the time and tripping us up. And Father God did the best he could in sending Jesus. He gave everything. He gave everything to us. Some people think they're lost to God. But you know, over in Psalms 139, if I can get there, it talks about what God thinks about us, that he hasn't lost us along the way. Okay, it says, starting with 139 Psalms, the Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You knew when I sit, or you know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is in my mouth. You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. I rise on wings of the dawn. If I settle in the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And down in the 13th, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what God says about us. He is never very far from us. But some people struggle with even believing God knows where they're at today. I don't know how many are here. Have you ever experienced a time in your life where you felt God was so far away and had forgotten you? I mean, yes, if you're honest with yourself. And God is saying, no, that's not the way it is. And God moved heaven and earth to make sure that we did not get lost, but that we got found. And he will make sure that we, in turn, will find him. Jeremiah, I'll just, over there. And you guys know this is my life verse all the time in Jeremiah. I should have marked it. But it says that, for I know the plans I have for you, to give you a hope and a future. Not to destroy you, not to tear you down, but to give you a hope and a future. Then it goes on to say, if you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you. I will be found by you. That's what God says about us. That we are never lost from him. He knows where we are constantly. He knows that. And it gives us a reassurance that God doesn't give up on us. I don't care how bad you've been in your life, how bad you was this morning before you come to church, or last week. That doesn't matter to God. You are his child. He's never going to give up on you. So yesterday morning when I was rewriting my notes for this morning, I was just praying, Lord, you know who needs to hear this today. And so like normal, for me anyway, I just sit quietly until the Lord starts speaking to my heart. And then I just try to write as fast as I can. This is what I felt the Lord saying for us this morning. And I want you, if you can close your eyes and just listen so you're not distracted, because I feel this is really important. From the moment you were conceived, I have given you a name that I know you by, a name for eternity. I have planned for you, planned a life of blessings. I have breathed the breath of life into you. I have followed you along your path of life. I have watched over you, your coming and going. There has never been a time that I have been very far away. Many of my children have never seen my hand at work on their behalf. The cares and hardships of life weigh them down. They allow a wall to be built up between them and me. They don't see or feel me, but I am there watching. Many give up and get discouraged and then fall away, but I never fall away. I am constantly watching and waiting. I am a father that loves my children. I have plans for my children, plans not only for this life, but the life to come. I do not forget a single one. I do not abandon a single one, and I do not disown one of mine. I have given much to redeem you, and I have much to bestow on you. So be strong, be courageous, and don't ever give up. Wherever you are, reach out to me. You are not lost, because I have always known where you are, and you have never lost me. You have never lost me, and God's never lost you. For those that struggle with feeling God's love, you know it in your head because that's what the word says. When it comes to feelings inside, you struggle with feeling God's love or his compassion for you. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray and trust that God somehow is going to find a way to your heart, that you really feel loved and cherished by a Father that has done so much for you. So as we close our eyes and just, I want you to reach out if you can. Father, thank you for being a Father that loves us, a Father that loves us totally unconditional, which means you never keep a record of our wrong, that you don't keep all these little side notes that affect the way you love us. But Father, whatever wall that has come between we as your children and you, that we don't feel your love toward us, I speak to that wall in the name of Jesus, and just like the walls of Jericho, you come down in the name of Jesus. You fall under the name of Jesus, because God is greater than the walls we have built up in our lives. God, pour your spirit, pour your love on your children today as they go about whatever they do. The ones that have not felt your love, Lord, let it be powerful and moving, that they have no question in their mind that God loves me, that God is touching my spirit today, that I feel the love of God. And for those, Lord God, that the cares of life, the hurts that has happened to them, the sin that people have done to them, Jesus, that's why you died. Cover them with the cleansing blood of the Lamb, that they can look through the sin that's been done to them, and they can see Jesus on the cross and Jesus risen from the dead, because Jesus, you are our freedom. You bought and paid for our freedom. And we just want to extend to you, Lord God, ourselves, our lives today. And by the word of God, by the words of our testimony, that you, God, you love us totally unconditional. And God, by your help today, we're going to walk in a new freedom, that we are feeling God's love, embracing God's love. And Lord, heaven forbid we even start loving ourselves. Lord, you are God, and you created us for love. You created us for interaction. You created us to be a family. And isolation is not family. Lord, open our hearts and minds today to receive what you have given to us. And help us boldly to stand courageous in your presence and in each other's presence, knowing that the love of God can never be removed from us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for everybody as they go home today, as they're trying to keep cool in this heat, that their thoughts will turn to what you have said today. They can ponder it in their hearts and minds. And Lord, it's just not something that is here right now and gone tomorrow, but it stays with them, knowing that God does whatever he has to get to them, so they don't feel lost and abandoned. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.